James Carville once said, "It's the economy, stupid." And that coming from a guy who... never mind. because the last time we had an economy like this, it brought us the Bombay Company, Design Toscano, and yes, the San Francisco Music Box Company. San Francisco, here we come. Buckle up, baby, and lock and load. It's the latest edition of Political QRM.
Welcome, everybody, to Political QRM. I am Anne Marie, and there's my counterpart, Lou. And I think maybe, well, I don't know, I'll ask, but I think maybe this time he's wearing pants. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Well, they're sweatpants. Sweatpants. Does that count?
Yes, it does. As long as everything is covered, I'm fine with that. So how have you been?
Not too bad. I'm in a pretty good mood right now. Let's see how fast we can blow that.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a bit of an issue. As of Tuesday, I was you're supposed to get at 65. You're supposed to get a pneumonia inoculation.
Right.
Okay. So better late than never. The doctor gave it to me on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because I said, no, I hadn't had one. At least it wasn't in my yellow shot record. So, you may experience, some side effects. Getting pneumonia. I didn't actually get pneumonia, but boy, I didn't feel good. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, Wednesday and Thursday, I was absolutely, I was almost a typical sick male.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Debbie will tell you, I'm not like that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not like that. I'm not like the guy who gets sick and lays there and, honey, I can't reach the remote because it's like next to him instead of in his hand.
Yes. And then by, that afternoon, your wife is contemplating murder. And where is she going to hide the body? Yeah. Well, you're lucky. Debbie's lucky and you're lucky.
Yeah. No, we're very lucky because she already knows where to hide the body, so it's no big deal.
Because when my husband gets sick, it's like, oh, God, here we go. I'm like, here, I'm going to put you in this room. You stay there all day. I'll feed you, and don't bother me.
Well, your biggest problem is if you had to hide the body, you couldn't carry it.
I can't carry it. My husband's 6'8".
You'd have to do one of those dismember them and put them in
yes.
Separate parts of the wall with concrete.
But I have enough tools that I know how to use that won't be a problem. Seriously.
Oh, all right. Well, as long as you've got these things under control. As long as you've got these things thought out in advance,
I am ready for every contingency, folks. I really am. just teasing.
But anyway, so I did have that, but... Debbie went and looked at, Googled it or whatever, and because it was like way too late to call the doctor's office. So she said, "Oh, you'll be fine tomorrow." Yeah, son of a gun.
Sometimes it's the side effects. It's like, okay, you're going to be sick for 2 days. Okay, I thought the shot was supposed to prevent me from getting sick. Yeah, that's a side effect though. If you really had pneumonia, you'd feel a lot more. Yeah, a lot worse. So.
It's like the flu shot. What's it do? It gives you the flu.
Well, the flu shot, you get achy, you get a little bit of, stuffiness and stuff like that. But as somebody who's been put in the hospital for the flu, believe me, I would rather take that than, getting the flu.
Well, I don't get it every year. Mm-hmm. I don't get it every year because, as I said, with my system, my doctor has always kept track of the different strains of viri.
This year's supposed to be really bad. People are dying. I mean,
well,
many
I got
people.
It. I did get it. Yep, I did get it this year. I did. And the problem is now I saw a thing on the news up to Maine. Mm-hmm.
Up to Maine.
I saw a thing. some of the non, you know, CVS, Rite Aid, you know, conglomerate, you know, mm-hmm. corporate conglomerate pharmacies were running out of the flu medication.
Ouch.
And, yeah, well, only for a day or two, you know, a day at a time, you know, they'd run out, they'd order it real quick, and then the next day they'd get another batch, you know, but they were running out.
Don't they get them from the CDC? Hard time with that. Don't they get them from the CDC, the vaccines?
Well, or? The CDC has a backstock, but I don't know if they actually. But anyway, it's this Tamiflu or.
Right. It's the.
Tamoxifen sodium or whatever it's called, hydrochloride.
Well, Tamiflu is supposed to make the symptoms once you get the flu.
If you take it,
yeah,
you'll feel better in a week, but if you don't, you'll feel better in 7 days.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other, right?
Right. You know, whereas, you know, I'll be honest with you. We take elderberry, Sambucol, you know.
Really?
It's Israeli, and it's elderberry extract, and I never in my life lifted up a pangolin's tail and stuck my tongue in there, but if I did, I'd be willing to venture that's what it would taste like.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
But if you get the kind with the raspberry, if you get with the raspberry syrup, it's not so bad, you know? And don't forget, Sambucol is the black elderberry is indeed the root of Sambuca, you know, where they get Sambuca from.
Yeah, but that's
good. So, I mean,
good
things.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, good things. Yeah, you can make it taste good.
Is that the same as Anisette, isn't it?
No. Anisette is made from anise.
Yeah, I know that. I always thought Sambuca was, too.
No, it's made from the elderberry. The black elderberry.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I go in and I say,
it tastes the same.
You know. I go into a bar, I say, can I have some Anisette? And they go, I don't know what that is. I'm like, oh, God. Okay, give me some Sambuca. You know. Who knows?
You're lucky in this day and age with all the crazy crap these millennials drink. You're lucky if you can get a decent whiskey.
Drink.
Although, no. Wait, whiskey's on the comeback now. I'm
drink?
Sure.
Are we talking drink? How about what they're eating? The Tide Pods.
What?
Tide Pods. You know those little.
Oh, yeah. I understand they go very well with, Clorox.
Man, I'll tell you. You know something? You know, I tweeted actually yesterday. I said, here we were worried about the, subsequent generations ruling this country. I don't think we really have to worry anymore because natural selection is going to take care of all of it. Don't you think?
Hey, Darwin was right.
Exactly. Darwin was right.
Hey, look.
Who
when I was
right
a kid, getting your mouth washed out with soap was a bad thing.
You got to look at these people and you got to go, okay, who are your parents and why were they allowed to reproduce?
Yeah, right? Let me get this straight. Your parents had the same last name before they got married, right?
Exactly.
You know.
And so did their parents.
And I don't mean Smith or Jump.
Jeez Louise.
Well, it was only a few years ago they had that thing with the plastic bag challenge. You put your head in a plastic bag. You know,
You and I did stupid things, okay? Did we ever do things that would either cause our death or somebody else's death? No!
Well, actually, we did. You know, we used to jump our bicycles up over,
All right. Yeah, but you know what? How many kids died? Nobody. Seriously.
Nobody.
We used to.
You know, cartoons didn't come with a warning, don't try this at home. You know, nobody was going to drop an anvil on their brother, you know.
Exactly, but you know that, come on, I played on a playground in which there was asphalt underneath the playground equipment. And you know what? We fell. Big deal. Okay, you got up, you kept going. You had a little scratch. You know?
Your generation sprayed Bactine.
That's right.
On it. We had iodine and we had mercurochrome.
We had mercurochrome. We had mercurochrome. We did.
Oh, that it still felt very lovely, didn't it?
Yeah.
And you know,
had this big red mark on you too. Everybody knew.
Well, you know, it's funny because everything we had is when we were kids stained. You
know, it was a
mercurochrome
warning.
And iodine
don't
and stuff
do it again.
Stained. Exactly. you know, so, but now, I mean, look, they started that thing with the plastic bag challenge, and then they started the thing with the belt around the neck challenge, and then they started, you know what they should start? They should start a rubber band around the Gomizogyama challenge so that they can't reproduce.
There you go. That's it. That's it. And just keep tightening it so they fall off.
You know,
just like they do
and
sheep.
These things, it's like, well, you know, I've seen a lot of people talking about this Tide challenge, and you know, and I don't want to start any, you know, but I mean, have they looked in the attic and seen the cotton candy underneath, you know,
I know.
In between the joists?
I know. To them, it'll be the same.
You know,
thing.
Have they looked in the radiator of the car and seen the vast supply of Mountain Dew in there?
I know. You're exactly right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is, you know. And then these parents start crying. Oh, you know, my poor baby. Maybe you weren't paying enough attention to them. And maybe you weren't educating them properly that they did something like this. No, seriously, Lou. I mean, we did stupid things, but nothing that really would kill ourselves. We did stupid things. I mean, I had a friend, you know, that decided to try and fly. Okay, he broke his arm, but, you know. But seriously.
Yeah, my brother thought he was the, the hell was the name of it? Some character. Mm-hmm. And he put a sheet around his neck like a cape.
Yeah.
And he jumped down the stairwell thinking he was this superhero.
That's right.
And there were these two dents where his knees were and this one dent where his forehead was.
Ooh.
In the plaster.
Ooh.
Right? Well, my mother and my father did not pick him up and go, oh, no, peccato, peccato, giovane, peccato, peccato, figlia mia. They took a belt to his bottom for putting holes in the wall.
He's smacking the back of the head. What the hell were you thinking of?
Chooch.
What were you thinking? Exactly. What were you thinking of? What? See, that
exactly.
would be looked
no,
upon.
That's not a question.
That would be looked upon,
you know,
by our parents,
Jesus,
Louis.
Did you get hurt?
No.
No.
Idiot.
It's like, did that hurt? You know, did that hurt? Well, a little bit. Well, this is going to hurt more. Whack! What did you do that for? Because you're still mad. That's why.
That's right. Our parents would look it up and say, look at us and say, that was the stupidest thing you have ever done. What is wrong with you? They would look and say, what is wrong with you? You know, don't be so stupid.
Well, actually,
stupid.
My family said it a little different. You know,
Yeah, I know. No, my mother would go, yeah, but you don't understand. My mother said that. Her hands were always moving with the fingers together. What is wrong with
you? Well, that's why.
So,
that's
she
why
said
it's
it
a good
English.
Thing we don't do
Wait
video.
A
nope.
Her voice said it in English, but her hand said it in Italian. You know?
Exactly. You know, it's like I said, it's a good thing we don't do this in video because nobody sees our faces. You know, they'd see our hands, which is okay, because then the deaf Italians could understand what we're saying, too.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, but, you know, our parents was like, are you hurt? No. Boom. Right in the back of the head.
You are now.
Do not. What the hell's wrong with you?
Don't do that again.
Yeah, don't do it again.
So, you know, but it's funny that this stuff even actually has to be said. I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name. Came on, and he wasn't an old guy. I mean, it wasn't like he's old enough to have a PhD, so I guess that makes him in his 30s, you know. Mm-hmm. Was on TV the other day, and he says, you know something, we are not doing our kids any service. You know, he says, there was a counterpart of mine in the 60s saying we shouldn't let our kids watch this much television. We can't keep letting our kids be so digitally involved that, you know, of course there's a childhood obesity problem. Mm-hmm. The only part of their body that gets any exercise is their thumbs.
That's true.
You know, and now Hudson County, New Jersey, has a special Hudson County, it was a county sheriff or the county police department, somebody, mm-hmm. just put in place a special task force for the fact that they had 26 deaths involving pedestrians and another bunch involving cars in certain intersections in Hudson County. That's Jersey City, North Bergen, and Weehawken, Guttenberg. You know. Know. Well, for people who don't know.
Oh, okay, sorry. Bayonne. That's true.
Kearney, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, Western New York. Well,
yeah,
anyway, so they've got this thing, you know, Guttenberg, both square blocks, you know. That they have this task force because of certain, you know, the number has escalated. And they're like, well, don't drivers watch signals? No, people got their damn head down. They're not looking where the hell they're going. That's what's wrong.
Oh, my God. How stupid.
I mean, I didn't say that on the news, but you know that's what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Oh, man. I just... But, you know, I have to admit, though... We all did one smart thing, and that was, and this may sound a little pat to people, but we did elect Donald Trump president. We had the common sense, the majority of this country, to elect him president. And he made his appearance at Davos.
Yes, he did.
Switzerland. And he hit the ball out of the park, Lou. He did.
Well, you know, I know that, but wait, now, this is during that same time frame. High Energy Javito had an interview, and I'm trying to remember who interviewed him, in a kindergarten library in little kindergarten-sized chairs. And trust me, he exuded all the energy, you know, saying, well...
What the hell is he doing in kindergarten chairs?
Being right at home?
Yeah, probably. Yes, definitely. You know. Yeah.
So anyway, so the president went to Davos, and as you said, he hit it. He didn't hit it out of the park. He hit it out of the park, and the entire team took their turn at bat and kept hitting it out of the park.
Yep.
Kushner and Tillerson, and I mean, they just stepped to the plate.
Did you see when he arrived at the building where everything, I mean, all it was people looking at him. There was almost like a hush. I mean, you could hear every single camera clicking and, you know, people just looking, you know. And when they asked him, what are you expecting from this? He said, peace and prosperity, you know. And it was amazing. You know, no other world leader or businessman got the type of attention he did. Now, you had Soros, who was so angry there, that he stood there and he actually said that Donald Trump isn't going to make it to 2020 or maybe even sooner. And my comment about that is, let's hope you don't make it to 2020, you piece of bones, bag of bones. I mean, come on. This is a man
As far as that's concerned.
What?
I was surprised he made it to the weekend with the way those veins in his forehead were bugging out.
Doesn't he look like the emperor from Star Wars? I swear to God, every time I see a picture of him, he's the personification of evil.
No, actually, you know who he reminds me more of when they take those full face-on shots with a microphone in front of him?
What?
He reminds me of the great and powerful Oz.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's...
No,
that's,
you remember when the original...
Yeah, I remember the... Yeah, yeah, you're
the
right.
The big green projection.
Yeah.
I am the great and powerful Soros.
That's you're right. Who? He has that attitude, but Donald Trump.
Nobody
went in
gets
there.
To see the lizard.
Donald Trump
and
went in
Donald
there.
Trump was there, like he stood there. And you know something? Out of the out of the last four presidents, only one other one is gone.
I believe it was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton went 2000.
Yeah, 2000. That's the last time. Mm-hmm. But you know something? I think he went, and people go, "Well, gee, you know, out of the last so many presidents, only this many have gone." You know, and Bill Clinton was the last one, and da 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 da, yada yada yada, bing da bing da bang. I'll tell you why he went. He went to flip off George Soros.
There you go. Basically, you know, kick butts and take names, and that's what he did.
Yeah. Oh, we've been taking names. Yeah. We took another 65 billion or million out of Palestine.
Thank you.
But he went there and he said, America first does not mean America alone.
That's right.
What better message could you possibly bring mm-hmm. to an entire globe that is now sitting there biting its nails for over a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just, you know, he said that if America is going to go into a deal with some, you know, other a country, we want to make sure that we get something out of it instead of just that one country getting something out of it and us always giving. You know, and
well,
he said we're open
he
for
didn't
business.
Say China.
No,
he didn't say China, but he said we're not going to stand for this intellectual property theft. Mm-hmm. We're not going to stand for these unfair labor practices. We're not going to stand for these government, what do they call it, government government-controlled monopolies. Or that's not how it is.
Crony capitalism?
I can't quote him because I don't have it in front of me. But something on the order of, hey, China, you own all your country's businesses.
Yeah.
And you have unfair advantage in the fact that you pay your people 12 cents a day, and we're not buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the reasons why Apple, not known for being a stalwart bastion of right-wing thought.
That's true.
Is bringing $350 billion back to the United States over the course of the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Starbucks, another, oh yeah, there's your right-wing thinkers. There's probably three in the entire corporate chain on down to the busboy.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, they gave out bonuses and they gave out profit sharing and they gave a mm-hmm. 200 companies now in the Fortune 1000 have given out raises and bonuses. And
that's right.
And then they said, well, you know, that $1,000, that ain't nothing but crumbs.
Said by two people who are rich and how they got the money. Now, let me tell you something. If you believe that $1,000 is crumbs, then you have too much money. You do. You have too much money. That $1,000
you believe
is
that
such
$1,000
a small
is,
amount.
If you believe it's crumbs, sweetheart, dust them off your table and dump them in my plate.
You bet. You bet. Do you know $1,000 would help, say, somebody who's renting an apartment? That would help with 1 month's rent. Or perhaps, you know, food on the table for about 2 months, you know, for a family.
Or
I mean, come on.
Home heating oil.
Exactly.
Or gas in the car to go to and from work. Or child care to be able to take care of, you know, your kids so you can, you know, get out there and enjoy the coming prosperity.
That's right. What do you think, Lou? Do you think that with everything that the Democrats have been saying lately, especially with Donald Trump's new proposal on the Dreamers and the illegals, and we'll get to that in a minute. But just the fact that every time he proposes something or every time he makes something that's going to help Americans, the Democrats come out and they start blasting it. What do you think this is going to do?
They started out on
midterms.
November 9th, they said oppose, resist, obstruct.
Okay.
And they've been living down, I mean, up to that ever since.
Yeah.
You know, and it
goes
all the way. It's getting worse. And I saw an interesting, you know, how I pay more attention to the cartoons than the text.
Yes.
You know, hey, call me a child of the
50s. Hey, you're a guy.
There was a picture of a donkey in a suit with, you know, DNC on it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you looked at it and you said, oh, look, it's Chuck Schumer. You know, with a big old Harry Carey knife, you know, gone straight through his middle.
Yeah.
You know, blood all over it, right? And the president had just leaned back out of the way of the blade. And the caption was, did I get him?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Of course, no, he had not. You know, but look, Chucky. You know, it, to reiterate something we've said to many people many times, you know, we are native New Yorkers, natives of Metro Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And we've known Senator Soundbite for as long as we've known the president.
Exactly. There you go. It's amazing. It's amazing.
And he turned around and he took a bet. He took a gamble. And he lost. But they're spinning this. They're spinning this. Nancy Pelosi, you know, $1,000 is crumbs, and they're going to tax the crumbs.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz said the same thing.
Something? I'll take what's left. If those are only crumbs, I'll take what's left after the taxes. Yeah. Thank you very much. $1,000, you realize that's more than half of my Social Security payment.
Jeez Louise, are you kidding? That's insane.
No.
Yeah, and how many illegals are getting much more than that, Loeb?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know what? I don't have a passel of kids running around. I don't care.
They shouldn't be getting any money at all.
The fact that the Republicans had turned around and said, we're knocking off this child income tax credit to non-citizens because of the fact that, you know, there are entire areas of East L.A. And stuff like that where checks to people who don't pay income tax.
Mm-hmm.
They're illegals are getting these checks. That was something on the order, I think, in the last year we have data for, 2014. All right, maybe 15. I don't know, depending on how often the OMB updates this stuff. But I remember seeing this over a year ago, so it would have been like 2014. $26 billion in EIC, earned income tax credits, which is something you get if you make below a certain amount and have X number of children.
Yeah, and you're
sure. You get X number of dollars per child.
And you're a legitimate American taxpayer who has
no
a job. No, but I mean, they're
all
getting it.
All you need to do is file.
No.
They're getting it. $26 billion.
Instead of legitimate Americans.
Oh, you know, they pay taxes too.
No, they don't.
Not $26 billion worth, they don't.
Mm-mm. And you know, I'll tell you, small businessmen are cheering the president's tax reform. I mean, they see regulations going away. They can do more with their business. Bankers can be more open as far as...
Did you see what the president said?
What? I didn't see what.
Did you see what the president said in Davos about that fact? He promised to turn around you must remove two regulations for every new one you want.
Right. That's true.
They've exceeded that tenfold.
I have the speech up. He says, instead of two for one, we have cut 22 burdensome regulations for every one new rule. Listen to this. We are freeing our businesses and workers so they can thrive and flourish as never before. We are creating an environment that attracts capital, invites investment, and rewards production. America is the place to do business.
Hello.
Yeah. Now you take a look.
Hello.
Though.
The last time we had an economy like this, we had such things as the San Francisco Music Box Company, Design Toscano, the Bombay Company, the World of Science, the Museum Store, all these what people would consider frivolous. Hell, Benetton.
Oh yes. Yeah. That place went out of business, didn't it?
It still has an online.
Oh.
Still has an online.
But no concrete stores.
The thing is, this is when you have an economy that's doing so well, people not only have disposable income, but wastable income.
But you see, the Democrats don't want that. The Democrats do not want us to have disposable income. They want to keep us down to the point where we have to scrape for every single penny that we earn or that we have.
Seriously. California.
Oh, gosh. California. Wait a minute. Before we get to Before we get to California, have to focus on what Cuomo is doing. Cuomo, New York, governor of New York, Malloy, governor of Connecticut, and Murphy, the new socialist governor of New Jersey, are going to sue the federal government because of the tax reform bill.
Because the tax reform bill states specifically New Jersey, Massachusetts, New York, you know, are the only states that are paying this, right?
That's baloney. But the thing is that, so basically what Cuomo and Malloy and Murphy are saying is that we don't want you to keep more of your money. We want your money so we can redistribute it to the illegals, to the so-called refugees.
Yeah, because they're all sanctuary states. Yep,
they all are. That's what they want.
Well, that's the thing. They said it's not a program. It's a direct punishment to blue states. Well, no, I believe that all 50 states are included in the same reform bill.
Yes, of course.
So the flyover states are in it. You know, red states are in it that are naturally red. You know, so I don't believe that it could possibly be construed as a direct punishment on blue states. But if you want to consider it that way, you know, in all regards, I got to say, you know something, they may have a point. Because of the fact that they run their state so badly that their taxes are so out of control.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That now they're going to lose all their rateable tax clients.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people are fleeing California by the boxload. Texas is growing like a weed.
Well, you know, people are fleeing Connecticut, too, and New Jersey. They're leaving. They are leaving.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, every time you turn around. Now, I don't know why. Well, I do know why New Jersey elected Chris Murphy. And the reason they did is because the Republican candidate was Chris Christie's deputy. And she was tarnished by him, okay? So
Kim Guadagno was tarnished by Chris.
Yeah. So the thing is that now we have Chris Murphy in New Jersey, who is an avowed socialist, who says that he wants to make New Jersey a sanctuary state, wants to raise taxes, and he wants to give illegals all this stuff. And it's just amazing.
And has already signed at least two, if not three, executive orders that are anti-Second Amendment.
Cuomo now wants to give free college to dreamers.
No, he doesn't. He wants to give free college to any illegal, dreamer or otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I thought I read dreamers. No, okay, so you're fine.
Let's qualify this right off the top. Let's start right at the top of the heap.
They were illegals.
Whether they're illegals, whether they're dreamers, whether you want to call them DACA recipients, whether you want to call them, you know, undocumented, whether you want, I don't care what you call them. Hell, I don't care if you want to call them citizens of the United States of America. There ain't no such thing as free there, Andy.
No, but why?
Somebody's picking up the check.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, when I wanted to go to school, I was poor. I'll tell you, I was poor, but I wasn't poor enough, I guess. Although we were poor. We were very poor. And I still couldn't get full scholarships to anywhere. But you know what? I have to admit, I did go to Syracuse University, and they were very, very generous with their grants, with their scholarships. But I still had to take out a student loan, which was fine because this was my choice to go to that university. But to have somebody who, I don't give a darn if you were 2 or 10 when your parents came here, you should not get anything for free. Not when we have so many parents who are wondering how the heck they're going to put their kids through college. Both of them are working, and they don't have the money.
Well, here's my – you know how I feel about this. I am a devout follower of Mike Rowe.
Right.
The Mike Rowe Works Foundation. Just Google Mike Rowe Works, and you'll find it. As far as I'm concerned, we're sending far too many kids to college anyhow.
I agree with you on that one.
All right?
Yes.
Period. I mean, you know, look, I have friends of mine who I went through grammar school with that went to college even though they had no desire to go. They had no aptitude. They had SAT scores in the, you know, 500s and 500s. You know, but they were gifted and talented artists. They were gifted and talented mechanics. They were gifted and talented, you know, carpenters. They were gifted and talented gardeners. I mean, you know, they had no business going to college. None. But they all went because we all had the guidance office always had the picture of the guy, dirty, tired, bedraggled, and the guy in the cap and gown, and it said, "Work smarter, not harder."
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, I think we should take the emphasis off of college. We got an economy coming that'll support. Look, regulations coming down in every sector.
Right. That's true.
We're going to need people to fix stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need people to dig holes.
Let me tell you something. I once had my plumber here, right, and they had to repair. There were two of them came. They had to repair the switch for my water pump, okay? I have a well. And I was talking to them, and one of the guys looks at me and says, you know, I got a master's and such, and look what I'm doing. And I went, I looked at him, and I said, excuse me? He said, what do you mean, look what you're doing? I can't plumb a house. I said, you know, I would have water spouting out of the stove if I ever tried to do what
right.
you guys are experts
right.
in. I said, that's nothing
and
to be
And flames coming
of.
Out of the toilet.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, are you kidding? That's a craft. I can't do that.
It's a skill. It's a trade.
It is. It's a skill. I can't do it. I mean,
well,
everybody,
you know, again, you
that's
know,
a, that's a valid
my college,
skill.
My college loan was blood that I gave to the United States of America.
Right. Many people.
I loaned them my blood, and they gave me college.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. Why?
What's wrong with the fact that you're 18 years old, you don't know what you want to do, you're smart, you're bright, you're on it, you're with it, you're intelligent. You may not have all the math skills in the world, you may not have all the English skills in the world, but doggone it, you're smart, you're bright, you're easily trained. What's wrong with the idea? And I ran into a vet the other day
mm-hmm.
at the ShopRite. And he had the coolest electric scooter. I was using one of the ones that ShopRite provides, you know?
Right.
But he had the coolest little red electric scooter. I thought that, oh, I said, I got to get me one of those. I said, but you know something? I always stop and talk with the vets anyway, being one, you know,
mm-hmm,
thanks
sure.
them for their service. Vice versa. And I'm talking to this guy. He says, well, he says, I really can't take credit for this. I said, why? He said, well, this one's my wife's. Mine is blue, but it's on charge. You know, so I said, well, okay, you know, she liked red and, you know, you like blue. Okay. He says, well, that's why we keep them separated. I said, oh, okay, fine. You know, so anyway, but I'm talking to this brother, right? And he said, as far as I'm concerned, we should reinstitute the draft.
You know, I said that the other day. I did. Seriously. He said,
you know something, if you're a conscientious objector, you can go into Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go into some Make America. We used to have VISTA volunteers, Peace Corps, you know, this, any other. We could, you know, the CC camps, the WPA, the NRA, whatever. You know, you could go, and as long as you put, bless you, baby, as long as you put 2 years into national service,
mm-hmm.
well, then the gates should open to you.
Mm-hmm.
But to just sit there and say, well, no, I'm going to get it because I somehow or another, my mom and my dad managed to drag me kicking and screaming across the Rio Grande?
Yeah.
No.
You're right about that. Yeah.
And when I was coming through high school,
mm-hmm.
we had guys that used to go to different. You know, I mean, there were guys who went after junior high school and they spent, you know, freshman year in high school, and then they went off to VOTEC.
Yep.
And they had a hard time in our own town getting dates.
Why?
Because he goes to VOTEC.
Oh.
He's not going to be going to college.
Hmm.
And if I can say one thing that makes the argument, it's like, okay, so you get out of high school,
mm-hmm.
or better still, VOTEC, mm-hmm. right? And then you go on to a professional trade school, and you get your certification, electrical, plumber, you know, carpenter, whatever.
Right.
Go to your apprenticeship, your journeyman, you know, all this, a master, and you get all this stuff. By the time your buddy gets out of college after 4 years, 8 years, with student loans all along the way of a couple of $100,000, you've got a couple of $100,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
It's going to take him 25 years to pay off his student loans. You don't have any. You're making money. You're a better catch than a guy that's got to sweat. Oh, well, we can't buy the house we want at first. We got to wait, and we'll both work, and we'll work, and we'll slave, and we can't have kids until we're 30, and da-da-da-da-da, because we got student loans. This jamoke over here is pulling down 75, 80, 100 a year. He doesn't have a care in the world, and you wouldn't date him in high school. Guess what? The hell with you.
Exactly.
He's going to pick up some girl who went to beauty school and is making 65 a year cutting hair, painting fingernails.
That's right.
So, you know, this is the economy that we're facing. If we want to take... If we want to take the part of the president's speech the other day was about how energy, no company should be a slave to a single form of energy, and, you know, that kind of thing, and all these regulations, and we want people to create businesses, small, medium, and large. We want, you know, growth and infrastructure projects alone are going to employ masons, concrete pourers, electricians, steel workers, iron workers. They're going to employ plumbers. They're going to employ road engineers. They're going to employ road surveyors. They're going to employ all these things. We need these. What are we going to do? Call North Korea and get their slave labor in here like China does?
No, you're right. You're right.
You know, we're going to do like the Emirates or Oman or something like that, call North Korea, hey, Kim Jong-un, we need about 250 people for probably about $100 a day. Not each, total.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, you know, I really think that there has always been a stigma against, it's called skilled labor, and there shouldn't be. I mean, you know, I know plumbers who have made so much money. It's unbelievable. Because, only, seriously, do you want to go outside to the bathroom, folks? Do you really?
The only skill my grandfather had was being able to dig a hole deep enough and wide enough and fast enough to put a phone pole in it and move on to the next hole. That's not even a trade. That's labor.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with coming home at the end of the day. Look, some of my best days at work, I got home exhausted, sweaty, dirty. And I look back and I say to myself, that particular day, I'm like, today was a good day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, we've lost the ability to take pride in a good, hard, well-earned day and dollar.
Yep, I agree. And, you know, we have a bunch of people who are going to college and they're majoring in stupid things like women's studies. How do you study to be
a woman? Gender relations.
Gender relations, and, you know, film. Why are you majoring in film? Why?
Women's lesbian rhythmic dancing clay bunny making.
Exactly. Or puppetry. Puppetry. You're kidding, right?
Puppetry.
Join a damn circus and learn about it. Those are going away anyway, so. You know, I don't know. Go ahead. These people are so
stupid. You know,
look,
it's one thing to say you want to be a veterinarian. God love you. You know, you want to be a doctor. You want to be a dentist. You want to be a veterinarian. But you know something? Every veterinarian needs a tech. Every doctor needs a tech. Every dentist needs a tech. Every dentist needs a dental hygienist. Every doctor's office needs PAs, MAs. You know. RNs, BPNs, you know, all these BSNs rather.
Oh gosh, yeah.
They still need all these things. They need trust me. They need phlebotomists who can see a vein.
That's right. and who know exactly how to get that needle in there to pull out the blood that they need.
All right.
To run the tests.
What do you need? You need the ability. You need to have decent vision, even if you got to wear glasses. You need the ability to not vomit on your patient, and you need, you know, a certain amount of skill. It doesn't take much.
No.
And these jobs are not minimum wage.
I know.
However, I got taken to task the other day.
Really? About what?
I got taken to task the other day. I did. I got taken to task when I was bringing up the fact that Walmart was giving their employees $1,000. They were giving them higher starting wage.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
They were giving them raises. Mm-hmm. They were giving them stock options. Not stock options. Profit sharing.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving them a little bit. And I don't know if you've been in a Walmart lately.
Yeah, I have.
I went into one because I needed a specific cord to go between an older camera and my USB.
Right.
And son of a gun, the day I needed it was the day after my local Radio Shack closed.
Yeah, they're no longer there.
Yeah, so I went to find one because I really wanted one. I had a card stuck in my... old camera, and I wanted to get the pictures off. So I rolled in on one of the carts, and there's a sign there. Did you know that if you come out of the service and you go to Walmart, you have a job?
No, I did not know that. Seriously? Really?
There's a job. It says, relax, you've got a job.
Wow. I had no idea they had that program. Oh my gosh.
And if you're in Walmart and you go to if you're in the National Guard or some such thing, and you get to, not just to go for your weekend, a month or what have you, but you get deployed, when you come back, you've got your job. Not just any old job in the building, your job.
That's nice. I did not know that. And that's good.
I didn't either until I stopped to read the sign.
Son of a gun. I'll have to take
You've got your job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come out of the military, you've got a job. Now, you may not get the job you want right out of the gate.
Right.
You may not get it in that particular Walmart. But the idea is they will make every effort to provide employment to our veterans.
Wow. I had no idea. Well, that's good.
Me either.
That's refreshing. That's refreshing. That really is. I have to admit.
I don't get to Walmart all that often. But once in a while, like I said, I needed something, and it was across the street from where the Radio Shack was.
Used to be.
So, as a matter of fact, I used to work for Radio Shack.
I remember when Radio Shack was a really good place to go for all the little electrical things you needed and all the little, fuses and different parts for everything.
Be honest with you, that's how I got the job.
What, you knew what they were? What was going on?
Because I knew what they were. They had already condensed down. They had already condensed down from the entire store being, electronic components, to being, radio controlled toys, and cell phones. It had changed quite a bit over the years.
Electronic component thing. That's what I remember.
But I actually knew what those components were, what they did, and how to identify, the different values. At one time, when I was 12, I was a ham. Don't ask me anything other than Victory at Sea in Morse code right now because I couldn't give it to you. So,
talking about ham radio. Okay, I thought you were talking about you're a ham. You're such a ham.
No, I became a ham over the course of time. Now I'm a ham. But anyway, I got the job because I actually knew that stuff. And the manager, I said, something? I saw an ad, and it said, oh, Radio Shack, hiring, holiday help. And I was thinking to myself, I was still in Microsoft school at the time. And I said, I could use a few extra bucks on top of the, going to school pay I was getting. So I said, oh, I'll go down there. So I did. And, well, you know, what qualifies you to work here as opposed to any of the other 3,426 candidates that have been here so far and the next 2,119 that are going to be here? And I said, well, let's take a walk. And he said, what do you mean, let's take a walk? I said, come on, let's go. So we went inside because I knew where the components were.
Right.
And I looked at the – I said, hand me one of those packages, but don't show me the label. And he said, okay, fine. And he handed me one of the packages. He's holding on to the label, and I said, 47,000 ohms. In other words, 47 kilo ohms. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know this stuff? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. He says, I wouldn't have known that. I said, okay. He said, I manage this store. I've been managing this store for 5 years. I didn't know that. And he said, you're hired. Just plain, you're hired. Start tomorrow. You know, because, you know, all these other people running around selling, you know, all this other stuff. And he said, he said, you can sell all the high profit stuff you want. But when somebody comes in here and wants something, we're sending them to you, dude. Excellent. I'm like, okay, I'm all right with that.
Excellent. Excellent.
You know, but that's it. People need to know this. Mm-hmm. All right. Radio Shack's gone, but people need to know this.
Yeah. No, I know.
People need to understand. And not everything is unrecognizable stuff on a circuit board. Some mm-hmm. of it is. Yes, absolutely. Some of
yes.
it is.
Yes.
And we need people who can identify that too. But when it comes right down to it, people need to be able to look at a resistor and say 47,000 ohms. Not only that, but it's 47,000 ohms. It's 1/8 of a watt. And it's at 10% tolerance.
Now you realize everything you just said went over my head. But as long as somebody knows it.
It doesn't matter.
I'm grateful.
Somebody knows it. And yeah. we will have a need for people to know it in the foreseeable future.
That's right. That's right. There you go.
I learned it by being a radio amateur, but I learned it before I was a radio amateur because my dad and my uncle Tony had an Emerson television shop, and they worked and repaired TVs back in the days when you could repair them.
That's right.
You know, and I learned how to repair TVs, and I learned how to do it the easy way.
Yeah.
By watching my dad and by watching my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I wasn't like some of the jamokes out there. Oh, well, you know, it probably needs a tube. Let's take it back to the shop and let the guy who knows what he's doing look at it.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
No, I went to my friends' houses and I fixed TVs for teachers in high school and I knew what was wrong and I fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that more. I get it. But there are myriad applications to stuff like that are still out there. Hell, there's still a call out there for people who understand Windows 95.
That's true.
We need people not necessarily to go to college to learn the ins and outs of you know, upper level Python programming and Apache programming and stuff like that. We need people who can take a computer apart, pull the hard drive out, stick another one in, and send it back with the customer.
That's right. Yes, I agree with you on that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's going on, baby?
Yep.
Nothing, just hanging out? So, the wife is hanging out here with us.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I think we should move on now. I think there's so many other things that have gone on.
Yeah, you let me go on long enough.
I let you go on, yeah. But that's okay. We're going to rein it in a little bit. And what we're going to talk about, what do you think about these lovely little texts that they finally discovered that, by the way, the FBI said that, oh my gosh, we lost them. Between the two FBI agents who were texting out anti-Trump texts, the two FBI agents that were lovers, they were both married. What do you think?
Yeah, an FBI special agent and his gumara.
Gumara, yeah. But, you know
his,
what?
His
mistress.
For the brothers listening, his side chick, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is that FBI kept saying, oh, no, sorry, they're lost forever. DOJ found them. And there were a heck of a lot of texts. Did these people work? I mean, I can't remember how many texts it was. Like, what, 5,000 or something? Or was it more than that? Oh, my gosh.
No, it's more than that. It's like 50,000 or 500,000 or something. Well, no, it doesn't take. No, it doesn't take anything. Amory, come on. You know for a fact you use Bluetooth.
Yeah, I know.
All you have to do is say send text and speak, and okay, so it misspells things and it gets things wrong.
I
know,
but darn it.
But from what I understand, it's quote unquote smart, so it learns what you mean, mm-hmm, you know, by inflection. Right. But the idea is, look. It's whether it's 5,000, whether it's five.
It's the content. It's the content that really matters. Yeah, it is.
And the whole thing with insurance policies and it's in the fix is in, you know.
Man.
I didn't know that KGB stood for Federal Bureau of
Man, I tell you, that this is getting a little bit ridiculous. I mean, the fact that...
Well, full dis-
what? What's full disclosure?
Full disclosure. Full disclosure. I have, and I know you do too, have nothing but the absolute highest level. 101 out of 100 level respect for the men, the women of the FBI, the various and sundry other agencies, police officers, sheriff's officers, federal, state, local, that are out there busting their butt every day to keep us safe, to make us safe, to take care of business. You know, I mean, you and I both share that. As a matter of fact, I wore a badge. So, but when you get to the point where you're starting to watch this thing and think you're watching an episode of Criminal Freaking Minds Only Corrupt.
I'll tell you, I'm looking at the stuff that's coming out about it. And the fact that these FBI agents knew that Lynch knew that no charges were going to be brought in the Clinton probe. And I'm stunned, but I'm not. Okay. This is what you would call an invasion by a hostile government.
A hostile government, yeah.
Justice system.
This is a John Grisham novel. This is a Le Carré novel.
It is. You know, every time you see one of these movies and you think that the government official is honest and above board and he's the one that turns out to be the spy or the one that's so corrupt and he's trying to bring down the whole agency. This is it. I mean, we're living it right now. You know, it's just
always
amazing.
And it's always played by, there's like three character actors that always play that bad guy.
I know. It's just amazing.
But, you know, but the idea is that they actually can, our current goings on in Washington, D.C., it's the swamp, I get it. You know, and there's dark,
really,
you know, there's all that stuff. There's the dark, the deep state and the dark state. And,
deep state.
You know, there are look. There are things that the American people do not need to know.
Exactly.
But there are workings and goings on. Right. That's why we have clearances.
Yeah, but unfortunately.
I mean, there are things that.
But you know what? Unfortunately, when you get to like the intel community, the protocols that they use, the requirements that they use for clearances now have just been decimated, and it's like almost anyone
can
get a clearance.
They're abysmal. I mean, hell, I could probably get a clearance.
I don't think you would be able to get a clearance. I really don't, and I don't think I'd be able to get a clearance anymore. I'm not kidding. And you know why? It's because we're too American. Unless things change.
We're making podcasts, and therefore we're enemies of the state.
Well, that's the thing. But what state? We're not enemies
the fact
of the... Go ahead.
The fact that the words enemy of the state exist in the United States of America.
I know. But you see, this is...
This isn't Guatemala. This isn't Colombia.
This is Obama. This is what happened in the 8 years that Obama was president. Also, and I just can't fault Obama because it also happened during George Bush's presidency and Bill Clinton. So we're talking about, 8 years, eight times three, 24 years here, over two decades of infiltration. because Bill Clinton did his darndest to weaken our intel community. And then after 9/11, George Bush insisted that we get more Arabic-speaking people in the intel communities. And what he did was he pushed Muslims. He didn't push Arab Christians. He pushed Muslims. So it's like, you know, and then, of course, Obama, I mean, you know, he was trying to put the cherry on top of everything here. You know, and
well, if you listen to Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, man. If Hillary had been elected, we would have been in real, real deep stuff. But what's happening now is that all this stuff is coming out. All this is coming out. I want them to release the damn memo.
Release the memo.
Release the memo. Do you know?
But then they blame the hashtag release the memo on Russian bots.
Yeah, I know. Do you know, I used to follow this guy who said he was a former intelligence thing. And I, every so often, I go and look at his tweets, and he said, "Hey, if you have been following, release the memo, and what was the other one that was the other meme that was really going out? I forget what it was. Well, then you've been taken in by Russian bots." And I'm like, one, I stopped following him. Two, I put out a tweet saying, you know what? Those of us who want the memo released are smart enough to know what's going on.
Yeah, what's his name? The congressman said that we're not smart enough to read the memo.
Who said that?
Schiff.
Who? Oh, Adam Schiff?
Schiff. We're not smart enough to read the memo.
Hey,
we're not smart enough to read. The American people are not smart enough, discerning enough, you know, erudite enough.
And I will,
you know, to read the memo.
I will quote to you William F. Buckley. I'd rather be governed by the first 500 names in the New York telephone book than those people in Washington. So there you go. Yeah. So
that reminds me of
that reminds me of
Rodney Dangerfield said okay. Of a particular actress.
Yeah.
She's got more chins than a Chinese phone book.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. We needed that because we were just starting to really get into it. That has to be released. Believe me, the American people can take it. Because
be.
The American
it
people
and
the American people have already suspected this. Okay. Not only that, when I gave a briefing to a local GOP, when was this? I think it was August, last August. And somebody asked
August,
me.
Or September, I don't know, somewhere
around there. Somebody asked me, so what do you think is going on? You know, do you think Obama has a hand in this stuff that's going on in the intel community? I said, yes. I said, He's got an arm all the way to the shoulder. He's using the intel community to do stuff. And this was before Donald Trump was a... No. I take that back. You know, when it was just starting to come out that, you know, there were some suspicious goings-on in our intel communities with regard to Donald Trump. And I said, definitely, because the intel communities reflect the administration that is governing at the time. You know, so this is disgusting.
I don't understand.
It's disgusting.
After eight years of Obama,
mm-hmm.
and after the W years,
yeah,
which were, I mean, come on, face it, the president was the titular commander in chief, yet not. Specifically, there was stuff going on that had nothing to do with the president, and he was busy. He was almost like Chuck Schumering. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a verb? You know,
you
he was Chuck Schumering.
One. You just made it one.
You know, he was busy standing there, and look, W was a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the words that they used on the left to describe him, I felt were perfectly justified.
You think so?
But yes, okay. I do.
Okay.
You know, if he had the gravitas to follow his father, that Adams had to follow his father. You know, Quincy Adams.
Well, his father was no big good deal anyway. So, I mean, come on.
Well, John Adams was... No. Bush, no. H.W. Bush was no great shakes. Got to remember, President Reagan did not want H.W. Right. Bush as his running
him.
Mate.
They forced him to take him. Yeah.
They forced it on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that was the... You know... Jabito the other day in that we alluded to it earlier, the kindergarten library and the kindergarten chair, you know, or grammar school, let's mm-hmm. call it that,
mm-hmm.
you know, sitting there looking every bit as high energy as he ever did, you know, talking
know.
About the president being the, wait, I wrote it down, detriment of the Republican Party.
Are you kidding? You're kidding, right? He actually said that.
No, I'm trying to remember who interviewed him, but it had to be, you know, come on, face it, it had to be a left-wing outfit.
Of course.
You know, he's kind of like looking down and shaking his head saying, yeah, that's right, President Trump is to the detriment of the party and the party brand and, you know. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you're relevant, why?
I know.
He knocked your butt out in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know he was supposed to be
the entire Bush family. The entire Bush family, with the exception of Laura, was useless.
Yeah, the thing is that really burns him and many elites in the Republican Party is he was the anointed one. He was the one that was supposed to run, okay? And he was such a weak candidate that Hillary Clinton would have blown him out of the water. And
no way. No way, shape, or form he could have won. You
no,
forget it.
Of course not.
No way he could have won.
No. She would have blown him out of the water simply because he is so low energy. And a lot of Republicans or independents would have just said, the heck with it. I'll vote for my local candidate.
Like Bill Kristol?
Oh, please, don't even get me started with Bill Kristol. Heavens. You know, it's like, Bill, go sit in a corner somewhere. Your time is over.
Or George, go back to calling balls and stripes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Come on. Go. You know, just stop.
You know, look, these things are what they are. You know, I gotta say it like this. The attachment of HW to Ronald Reagan
mm-hmm.
was what Ike warned us about in the 50s.
Hmm.
Ike warned us about the military-industrial complex, and that military-industrial complex was wrapped up in the skull and bones people of H.W., William Jefferson Clinton, you know, this is what took place. I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. I'm not a big Illuminati, you know, Bilderberger, you know, Masons, you know, Ordo Templi Orientis, Rosicrucians. I'm not into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? If they needed evidence, there you go.
Yes.
Ever since the attachment of HW to Ronald Reagan, we've been witnessing just that. Just
mm-hmm.
that. The trilateral commission and the all that stuff, we've been seeing it happen.
Yes.
Donald J. Trump came along and said, "The hell with this!
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna make America great again with your help and your help and your help and your help." And I don't care if you're 18. Of course, you got to start with old enough to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Or 888. We are going to make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at somebody who actually had one of my essays on our site, you know, called Armageddon with it. And you realize what we lived through in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and mm-hmm. early 2000s. Yeah, I'm ready to make America great again. And definitely. You know something? I'm willing to do what I gotta. I'm willing to do what I need to. I'm willing to do what I can to help that along. I don't know about you, but that's me.
Oh, no. Definitely. Definitely. I completely agree. We got to move on, though. We got to move on. Let's see. John Kerry's in the news again. Sitting.
Why?
Well, he's sitting there talking to an Abbas aide, head of Palestine. Well, the Palestinian state. And said, well, you know what? Just ignore Donald Trump. And, you know, we're going to be taking care of him. Things are going to change. And, you know, don't do anything.
He won't even make it. He won't even make it to 2020?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something else.
I have two words for John Kerry. By the way, as a Vietnam veteran, I want to just reach out and say hi. I've got two words for that. Logan Act.
Exactly. Explain to people what the Logan Act is, please.
The Logan Act prevents American citizens from having diplomatic, political intercourse with foreign governments or the representatives thereof.
Yeah, but you know what?
And it is a felony under treason in the United States of America. Now, the president, the former president, as you were, of the United States, Barack Obama, has a certain amount of insularity against this. However, his former really secretary of state.
Wait a minute, Lou, not if he's really not a United States citizen. I know, there we go. Okay. I had to throw it out there. Conspiracy theory. Go ahead.
You know what? No, you know something? The fact that all of that stuff is not going to be in his 25-acre complex on the waterfront in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
In his quote-unquote presidential center instead of presidential library like most presidents, former presidents.
Seriously, does he really want anything that he did in the presidential library? I mean, really? And legislation that he signed, including Obamacare, which is being dismantling little by little.
Little by little. But not for nothing, but I don't think there should be a presidential library. I'm not convinced he could read.
No.
So, you know, that said, you know, I think that a former Secretary of State does not qualify him for immunity under prosecution of the Logan Act.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't.
You know, if a former Reagan Secretary of State or Undersecretary or employee of the State Department or a junior Undersecretary of Undersecretary of State, you know, somebody in Reagan or in Bush either, would have spoken to Abu Abbas or whatever, and said these things. I mean, hell, we can't keep Obama feet to the fire for saying, well, you know, after the election, I'll have more flexibility.
I know. That, to me, is collusion. That is a case of collusion right there.
Look, it's over a year. It's over. People said, somebody came out and said, I'm trying to remember who said it, something about, the president said, you know, something about, what the hell? I lost my train of thought. But anyway, the idea being that the president said something on the order of firing Mueller.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Even though nobody else can confirm this.
Well, the
you
thing
know, it's kind of like when the other Chudrul come out and said, oh, he said asshole.
Yeah.
Even though nobody else heard it.
Dick Durbin.
And then he came back, actually. I said, well, you know, maybe that's not what he said. Maybe that's not what he meant. You know, Durbin.
Dick Durbin.
Little Dick Durbin.
Dickie Durbin.
So,
well, you know, the
you know,
thing is,
you look at this and say, hey,
No, the thing is, Lou, is that Trump went to Davos. They saw it was starting to, he was starting to really impress people, and they had to do something. So they pulled out that fake news about Mueller. They had to deflect attention from Trump, you know, being a success at Davos.
But I mean, it was fake news. It was obviously fake news. It was proven fake news within 15 minutes. I mean, it was like, oh, my God. You didn't buy that, did you? Of course. The rabid left, of course, they bought it. Not only they bought it, they ran with it, you know.
They ate it up, for heaven's sake.
But the idea is that, oh, he's going to fight. Well, first of all, everybody says, oh, obstruction of justice.
Yeah. And
it's like, wait, been in this investigation for how long? Over a year. Yeah, you've got how many shreds of, how many scintilla of evidence? None. You can't obstruct what didn't happen.
That's right. That's right.
The obstruction of justice is the Mueller investigation.
That's what it is, yes.
Because we've got so much evidence on Hillary, on Huma, on Andy or Antony or whatever his name was, the Nakey's guy throwing pictures of his kumas and yam at kids.
Anthony Weiner.
Weiner.
And plus
you've got
the FBI agents.
Going on. You're transferred and the dossier being manufactured and the
you know what the dossier, I'll be honest with you, I think that they took off one person's name and put Donald Trump's on it, and the person's name who I think they took off was Bill Clinton. That sounds exactly,
I think they did,
like
I,
Bill
I
Clinton
think,
would do it did it sounded
I think
exactly
the, I think the dossier. The people listening might not understand. There's such a thing called boilerplate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have a boilerplate contract, and you adjust it, you know, different things, you know, to fit your business. You have a boilerplate press release, and you adjust it to fit the situation. You have a boiler. In other words, 90% of it is written. All you have to do is add, you know, the pertinent details.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the dossier was a boilerplate dossier, and all they had to do was fill in
That's right.
the names.
I agree with you on that one. Yeah. Yep. Hey.
And I
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was gonna change the subject. I was gonna change the subject, but go ahead.
No, I'm really kinda sorta done. I just
Okay.
You know me. I just go on until you tell me shut up.
Shut up, Lou. Hey, listen, you want to hear something really stupid? And of course it comes out of California. Have you heard the latest?
Go ahead.
Okay. Democratic Majority Leader in California's lower house, Ian Calderon, has introduced a bill to stop sit-down restaurants from offering customers straws with their beverages unless they specifically request one. Now, under this law, a waiter who serves a drink with an unrequested straw in it would face up to 6 months in jail and a fine of up to $1,000. This is under the heading of how stupid can you be?
No, stop saying that.
Why?
Stop saying that, because they keep taking it as a challenge.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of that. I think they...
In the meantime, here's the part that gets me. I don't use plastic straws. Mm-hmm. I don't use any straws. Debbie likes paper straws, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She prefers the old-fashioned paper straws. She loves them. And good for her. You know, but I don't use them at all. You know? I have three plastic straws, but they're rigid plastic. And they go in, we have this little gizmo that goes on top of a mason jar because they go through an amazing amount of, and you wash them and you run a brush through them and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
They're reusable, you know, 10,000 times. But we don't use plastic straws, and that's grand. But here's the thing. The number that they used was 500. 100 million mm-hmm. plastic straws a day in the United States are put into the waste stream.
Mm-hmm. I find that hard to
There are 320 million people in the United States. That means every man, woman, and child needs to use mm-hmm. more than one per day.
That is so stupid. I haven't used a straw in years. Years.
And the thing is, this is actually a statistic they got from a 9-year-old kid doing a report in earth science at 9 years old, who padded the number by asking people questions.
Yep.
To get a good grade.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
No, there's your science. A 9-year-old kid cheating on an earth science class project.
I know. But it's just an indication that, you know, I mean, to heck with California trying to secede from the union. Can't we throw them out?
I was wondering the same thing. And you know something? If Washington and Oregon object, we can throw them out. You know, go ahead.
Yes, please. Go on, please, go. Oh, my God. I swear to God, there has to be another wall, you know, on the western part. Washington, Oregon, and California. Just, but
if
know,
I could find a way.
There is a movement.
If I could find a way to excise New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts.
I know.
But leave New York City here and just, you know, while we do this, make sure de Blasio's on the rest of it and take him
man.
Too.
I'll tell you, these guys are just, they're nuts. Lou, they're nuts. They really are.
And they're getting more and more nuts by the day. And I think that has a lot to do with our current president. I think the fact that Donald J. Trump is in, you know, sitting in the big leather chair behind the Resolute desk in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has made them so absolutely, completely, totally nutso.
They're unhinged. They are unhinged.
They are unhinged. They it's not even Trump derangement syndrome anymore.
No.
You know, it left that. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing the other day of, I forget the university in Connecticut, or maybe it was UConn, I don't remember, where Ben Shapiro was supposed to speak.
I believe it was.
And they, you know, the university offered counseling to people who may have been affected by the fact that Ben Shapiro was supposed to speak that evening. And they offered services, and please take advantage of the various services available here on campus and off through our outreach programs to make yourself feel better.
That's amazing. These people are that weak. They're that weak.
If you get to the point, you know, I'm not an advocate of violence. I mean, I've seen enough violence in my lifetime. I don't have to advocate.
Exactly.
All right, but listen. If you are really actually managed to get yourself as far as college age and in college and taking, you know, A and B and C level 100, 200, and 300 level courses, and you've been in college for more than 15, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and you are actually considering the fact that you may need therapy, because of the fact that somebody you don't agree with is coming to speak at your university, please eat a Tide Pod and wash it down with freaking Clorox.
You jumped the gun. Oh, my God. I was going to say that. See? Great minds think alike, right?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what.
What?
Why stop with the appetizers? Go straight for the main course, okay?
What's the main course?
Drano pods.
There you go. Hey, wash it down with a little bit of antifreeze. How about that?
I don't care what you wash it down with.
Hey, you want the...
Please, you know what? Clorox is probably the best plan because you'll eradicate your seed from the gene pool of life.
Isn't it amazing?
You know, you got a pool, what do? You put Clorox in it. You know,
exactly.
I mean... Please,
oh,
sterilize the gene pool behind you.
Lou, I tell you, this is, you know what? We're going to have to start wrapping this up, okay? but I have to read this article from the New York Post, all right? And it deals with Hillary Clinton, okay? Is that all right?
Yeah, right.
No, you don't want me to?
Well, I don't know. Is it good or bad? I mean, are you going to sit there and bury her or praise her? I mean,
no, I come not to praise Hillary. Just how unhinged she's become. This kind of ties into the unhinged liberal thing. I mean, she's just... Okay, I won't do it.
Well, you know, I let me tell you. I think that Nancy Pelosi should hire a staff member that if she tries to leave the house in the morning without taking her meds, that staff member should have only one responsibility every morning when Nancy's leaving.
Not Nancy, Hillary Clinton.
To dart her. No, I'm saying. But, you know, we can get to Hillary in a minute. I think that Nancy Pelosi should have a staff member that if she leaves the house without taking her meds, she darts her in the ass with it with one of those air rifles they use on rhinos or elephants or whatever. These people are that unhinged, and I'm sure Hillary's not far behind. Expound as you wish.
Well, no, it was this very, very weird and strange video that she did into a cell phone camera, okay? It's just so strange. This is what she said. She said, "Hey, everyone, I just wanted to say thanks. Thanks for your feminism, for your activism, and all I can hope is you keep up the really important good work," she said. Okay, let me read from the article. At the urging of an off-camera companion, she added with a laugh, "And let me just say, this is directed to the activist bitches supporting bitches. So let's go."
Wait, whoa. Not nasty women, what?
No.
No, feminist nasty women, something. She said bitches?
Yes, she did. It's on the, you can get it in the New York Post, because they ran it, because they got it from the Huffington Post. I mean, it's just amazing. This woman just keeps hanging herself. And seriously, Lou.
Well, if it was in the Huffington Post, it must be true.
Yeah, obviously. No, but, you know, she did it on a camera, so. It's just like, geez, oh, man. Everything is just kind of whirling around, you know, and you have all these women out there are just so great, so thankful to be called bitches. Okay, fine. Go ahead.
I still have a hard time with the fact that, you know, the other day on the anniversary of President Trump's inauguration, we had thousands and thousands and thousands of women in little knit pink hats. That's one thing. Which, by the way, go from anywhere from $3.95 on eBay, you know, but you got to buy 10 of them. You know, they're made in China in a sweatshop, you know. But that's okay. It's the thought that counts. Up and up to, I saw one for $80-something used on eBay.
Ew.
I guess that means it was in the first Women's March or something.
I guess so.
You know, which really makes me wonder why is an old used pussy worth more than virgin oriental pussy?
You do realize we're still recording, right? Oh, jeez. Lou?
No, I was talking about a hat. I was talking about a hat.
Okay. But let me just say, wait a minute. But I saw some photographs from those marches. There was a woman who actually, and this, actually, I got grossed out on this. I got so grossed out, she had on a full body vagina. Wait a minute. With hair.
Foam rubber.
Yeah. With
gizmo or was it satin? You know.
With hair on it. Hair portrayed on it.
Oh, good God. Oh, come on, Amory. Come on. I thought I was at the edge. Oh, Jesus.
I kid you not, Lou. I have to find the photograph. And I looked at it and went.
No, thank you. That's okay. I've got a mental photograph.
Yes,
I don't need the real one.
It was disgusting. And I'm like, does this woman actually think she's empowered by doing this? Seriously.
Well, the thing is,
I'm aghast.
If she really wanted to be empowered in that costume, she should have put on a hijab.
Exactly. I'm just amazed at all these women who think they're women and they're not. They're not. And they think that they're empowering women and they're not.
Look, I'm not into shaming anybody for a well, yeah, I am, what? But just not
well,
for the average ordinary.
Let me put it to you this way. My gender is just part of who I am. I'm Anne Marie, okay? I have likes, I have dislikes, I have different life experiences, you know, I have different hobbies, I have, you know, my gender is just one part of me. I don't want to be known just as a woman. I want to be known as Anne Marie. And if you don't like me because I'm a woman, well, guess what? It's your problem.
Well, I don't want to be known just as a, I mean, a man. look, we are all a sum of our parts.
Mm-hmm.
None of those parts are the fact that I'm a man, the fact that I'm a veteran, the fact that I'm a college graduate, the fact that I'm a guinea, the fact that I'm, you know, none of those are, you know, the only thing that comes close is the fact that I'm an American.
Right.
Other than that, I mean, everything else is just a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's supporting documents, so to speak. You know, it's like, you know, headnotes, footnotes, you know, side notes, asterisks and crosses and stars and swords and all that stuff going down the line and, in Chicago style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is all, you're a sum of your parts.
That's right.
And I'm not one for picking at any given part of that, except where it comes to being really a stunad.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, or strunes or something, yeah. You know. But when I see this woman who put up a meme the other day, I need feminism because, and that's one of their memes.
Mm-hmm.
Is they hold up a little, you know, whether it's a whiteboard, whether it's a legal pad, whether it's a poster board, whatever it is, it says, I need feminism because. And I see this woman in a bikini top and a thong that is probably 400, 420.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean like she's 17 feet tall, you know, like what's her name in that movie? No, I mean she's like 5'7 or something and she's this heavy and she's got just folds of stuff all over her. And she says, I need feminism because my first answer to that is because you can't get a goddamn thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so when I see these things taking place, I'm sorry, I'm a cynical son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mean any ill will towards you, but you're just being intellectually dishonest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I see these women on, you know, the 21st, 22nd of the month, marching on all these cities with their little pink hats on and carrying signs saying, I need feminism and Donald Trump's a Nazi and this and the other, and they won't allow other women's movements involved because they happen to be pro-life.
Mm. Yep.
And then I see them standing there saying, wage gap, which, by the way, is just plain. That's not even duplicitous. No. That's no. Intellectually dishonest.
Exactly.
That's not even, yes. You know, that's intellectually dishonest. You know, they and oh, glass ceiling and oh, you know, all mm-hmm. these things. And at the same moment, women in Iran are tearing off their hijab and setting them on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And getting beaten in the streets, and their husbands are caning them and stoning them, and all this other stuff going on. And these women are demonstrating in 10,000 orders of magnitude more personal safety.
Exactly. Yep.
For a wage gap that's non-existent. And they're not only are they doing it in 10,000 orders of magnitude more safety, but they've got their 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12-year-old daughters there, sons there.
Mm-hmm.
And these women in Iran are being beaten. Mm-hmm. And they're being dragged off. And they're being stoned.
Mm-hmm.
and caned and having their hijabs put around their head and set on fire.
Yeah.
Yet they got nothing to say about that.
I know.
And yet in Maine, once again, and you could look, if you have a map of Maine handy, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, go and look at LD 750. Ah, shoot, I wrote it down and I don't have the right pad in front of me. Mm-hmm. That would outlaw feminine genital mutilation. Mm-hmm. In the state of Maine. And you'll see it's Biddeford, and you'll see it's Saco, and you'll see it's Yarmouth, and you'll see it's Portland, and you'll see it's ding-da-ding-da-ding. And it is still legal.
That's horrible.
To take a minor daughter and mutilate her genitals in Maine. It is still legal because they would not pass the anti-FGM legislation in Maine. Every Maine Republican in both houses voted yes, make it against the law.
Right.
A lot of Democrats in the state of Maine in both houses voted yes to make it against the law. But just enough of them from Lewiston, Auburn, coastal Maine, Portland, Westbrook, all the places where they happen to have a bunch of muzzies.
Oh, yeah.
Voted no, and it got shot down.
Darn shame.
You know what? Let me tell you something. The people who actually do that, who actually carry out that procedure, are very, very lucky that I'm not there, and they don't even know it. Could you imagine me walking into a room, a back room? I'm in some restaurant or something, and it's a, you know, Arabic restaurant, you know, a Sahara 2 or Sahara 3, whatever restaurant, and I'm on my way because I drank a couple of beers, now I got to go get them back, and they're doing that in the back room. Could you imagine?
Well, see, that's not what we do in a civilized world. But, you know,
what, shoot them?
No. What they are doing to young girls, that's not what, but they are not civilized.
They are not civilized.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
No,
they're not, Lou. You know that as well as I do. Oh, you know what, Lou, though? I think we're going to have to start wrapping this up here. We've really been talking quite a bit. It's been an hour and a half.
You know, didn't we? What? Didn't we make a resolution to make these like an hour?
I know. We did. But somebody, I'm not going to say who. No, it's okay.
Guilty as charged. Because I think the best we ever did was an hour and 20 minutes.
Well, right now I have an hour and 38 minutes.
I got 2 hours and two.
No, it can't be. No, it can't be.
No, that's from when we first felt. Oh, that goes to when we were first connected before we actually.
Yeah. So we are going to have to start wrapping this up.
I think that you should give us some parting thoughts.
Parting thoughts. Okay. Just in case people don't know. And you've been under a rock, like Lou. I'm getting to the point. Super Bowl is next Sunday, February 4th. And the New England Patriots are playing the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. And I have to say, go Pats. It's going to be a tough game, but I think you guys can pull it out. And right now, I probably have a heck of a lot more enemies out there.
Being in Pennsylvania.
I know.
Only 100 miles from Philadelphia.
True.
I still don't give a rat's ass.
That's fine. That's fine. The less juju you can put on the Patriots.
Now, wait now.
Oh, come on.
You know what? Now, wait a minute now. No, this is important now, and I know we're trying to close this up, but you know something? The NFL, in their infinite wisdom, decided that an ad in their program by the AMVETS, the American Veterans.
That's right, yes. This ticks me off to no end.
Was too political to include, even though NBC said, we are going to show the kneeling players in the coverage of the Super Bowl.
Right.
So they decided that, you know, that the ad from the AMVETS was too political to be included.
And it was a very benign ad. It just said, please stand.
Please stand. That's all it said. That's all it said.
That's it.
But in the meantime, because that was too political, let's go back to the 50th anniversary Super Bowl, shall we?
Yes, please do.
When Beyonce showed up in a Black Panther party costume with belted ammunition as part of her costume. But that wasn't terribly political, was it?
And did her show for Black Lives Matter.
Right. Yeah. But that wasn't political.
No. No. That was
Art,
Lou. That was art.
I know. I don't understand a lot of things about football. I really don't. I don't. You know I don't. And we've talked about that.
That's fine.
And I understand that there's a lot going on between the owners and the one guy is, I don't remember
Roger
which team
Goodell.
It is. He's been, he's been vociferous against Goodell. That's a name I actually recognize because of all this stuff going on. You know. But as far as I'm concerned, and I, you know, again, not to politicize this, but I would hope that people like Goodell wake up to see the light. I really would hope he wakes up to see the light. And be honest with you, I don't care if the light is the sunshine or the explosion of the gas truck under which his car slid before he dies.
Oh, okay. We're going to be in jail. Oh, my God.
Well, I didn't say I was going to push his car under a gas truck. I just said I hope that's what he sees.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think he's horrible. I think he's a horrible person. It's gotten to the point where he's not, you know, he can make the excuse that he's looking out for the NFL, but he's not. He's just trying to perpetuate the liberal, dogma. And that ticks me off.
No. All he's trying to do is make sure he has a private jet for life. That's all he's trying to do. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
There's nothing wrong.
But you know what? He hates America, and I don't want somebody like that in this country. And I mean that seriously. I mean, you know, for him not to come and say, hey, listen, you guys are really lucky to be able to play the game that you love without interference from the government. And this is how you show your thanks? No. So, you know.
And it's still a game, boys and girls.
That's
it's
right.
still a game.
And that's what I'm
at
looking
at. At the player level, it's still a game.
It is a game.
You don't wear a uniform. You wear a costume.
And I'm rooting for my team. That's all I'm doing. Yes, I am. I am going back on my promise. Once the Patriots, and the Patriots have been really good about showing respect. They've only had one or two players, and actually that stopped. But I don't know. It's the Super Bowl, and I have to root for them. And Tom Brady was magnificent in the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
I wouldn't know.
What a game. What a game, what a game. So, folks, we are going to wrap this edition up, and I know we've said a lot here today, and I can guarantee you that in the coming week, in the coming months, there's going to be more and more happening. One thing I would like to see.
That's
right.
Release
the memo.
Look for our Super Bowl post-game show.
Yes. Oh, and don't forget.
At which time Anne-Marie will go on and on and on about the New England Patriots and whether they won, whether they lost, and how and why and all that other stuff. Yeah. And I'll say, I don't give a shit.
Give a shit. Yeah, I know. This Tuesday, I believe it is the State of the Union speech by Donald Trump.
Yes, it is.
And
yes, it is.
we'll also be covering that.
And Miss Cowboy Hat Federica is not going to be there.
And neither is Maxine Waters and a few other losers, but that's okay.
And we will dissect that.
Well, yeah, we definitely will.
And, oh, by the way,
and?
Azizan Yam Hoshoa, because I know it's a few days late, but we didn't do one on Yom HaShoah.
That's right.
To our members of the tribe, friends, Yom HaShoah is the day of remembrance of the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And our hearts as an individual and as a team here on Political QRM are with you, even if the mainstream media is not, even if the Democratic Party is not. You know the Democrat Party you keep voting for? Yeah, those. Azizan Yahushua.
Yeah. So I guess this is it.
This is it. This is it. Sunrise, sunset.
Sunset. Oh, okay.
Sunrise.
Everyone, listen, have a good week. We will be with you next week. Hopefully, to be able to do another.
And we will be with
fantastic
you.
Edition of
That's
Political
right.
QRM.
Oh, another rock and roll. Oh, my God. Just, like the roller coaster in Palisades Amusement Park.
Oh, don't get started. You're getting started on another topic. Don't.
Well, no. Palisades Park, Olympic Park.
Stop,
I don't
you're
care
doing
what
this. You're doing this
Coney
again.
Island,
you're
you know.
Doing it again. Stop.
Bertrand's Island, down ashore, you know, because down ashore everything's all right. Amory's passed out. Wait for us, boys and girls, so she can give our outro.
All right, good. Peace, anyone. So, everybody, just please take it easy. Stay safe.
Be safe.
And to those of you who will be making more money come February, good. Thank Trump for that.
Good. And if you don't like the fact that you're making more money and you're really kind of annoyed by that, I'll give you my address.
Yeah, mine too. I could use the extra money.
Yeah, right.
Hey, you know, put it to good use.
I'll even write your receipt. You can write it off.
There you go. You can write off your taxes. Yes. Okay, folks.
Call me a dependent. I don't care.
Okay, everybody. Listen, we'll see you next week. Lou? Bring us out.
So I was asked why I wear a gun in my own home. Because, you know, I've always said it. If I'm wearing pants, I'm wearing a gun. And I was asked why. I said, well, you know what? We're sitting here right at our dining room table. And she said, well, you know, why do you wear it? I said, I wear it because of Decepticons. And she said, Decepticons. I said, yeah. I said, because I was talking about that, and I said Decepticons, and I laughed, and Debbie laughed, and the toaster laughed. So I shot the toaster. Good times. And on that note, boys and girls, listen, have a wonderful week, have a wonderful month, have a wonderful life, because it's looking like we're going that way under the current president, Donald J. Trump. And if I can say anything the way he says it, may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.